Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine, folks. Today's program is going to be an interview with Andrei Medvedev, who is the owner of the Russian Chapel Hills Winery in Columbus, North Carolina. He has made one of the nicer wines that we've tasted recently and won a gold medal with one of his wines at the recent Asheville Wine and Food Festival. And so we thought we'd better talk to this man and find out what he's doing down there. So tell us about yourself, Andrei. Where'd you come from? How did you get the winery started? And what's your plans for the future?
Yes, hello. I originally from Russia, Moscow, and I moved to United States in 2009, 6 years ago. And I never been in this business before. It was kind of a long-term dream to have some vineyard, to do some wine. Of course, I like to drink wine myself, and so but kind of my perspective for future when I was in Russia. And I was traveling a lot in Europe, around the Europe and France and Spain, and seven glasses with all these beautiful vineyards and winery. But when I moved to States, you know, all this, your dreams and reality is very different. And but even it's not the same business like how you imagine it in your mind, I still like it and I do it for the last 5 years. And when I came here to Columbus, I bought a vineyard from Mr. Marvin Park, and here in Columbus, 9 acres, and I bought one more piece of land, about 10 acres, and planted one more vineyard. And 3 years ago, we built winery. This year is my first release of my wine. We are doing pretty well. So, as you said, our wine, our Chardonnay, had a gold medal on this wine food festival in Asheville, and we got 2 silver medals for Merlot and for our Muscadine wine.
Have you won medals with your Muscadines?
Yes.
Okay, which ones have you won so far with your Muscadines?
It was silver medal.
Okay.
And we got for my Muscadine bronze medal on North Carolina Fair competition.
Okay.
Wine Fair.
Okay. All right. I just have the listing right here in front of me for the gold medal winners at the Asheville Wine and Food Festival, and it does say that your 2013 Chardonnay was a gold medal. So it looks like somebody's doing something right there. You had mentioned before the show that you are not the winemaker. Tell us about the winemaker that you have.
I'm very lucky. I met Mr. Jay Adams when I came here first time, it was 6 years ago. He used to be winemaker in Green Creek Winery, and he is a very professional guy, and he has been doing in this business for a while, and he was teaching brewery at some Spartanburg College, as far as I know. And I'm happy to work with him in cooperation, and we have a good communication, and we have the same view for what we are going to do, and the same view what kind of wine we are going to do. It's very important for us.
You're on the grape growing side of things.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. So when you got your vineyard, how did you decide which grapes to grow?
Actually, it's a very good question. We are still looking for what is our silver bullet. In my opinion, here in this area, there are few wineries and everybody is growing everything. There are too many varieties that people grow in as well as myself. I still got 8 varieties. For my opinion, it's too much. And we still have to find out what is the best for our soil, for our climate. But it's still a young business, you know. In Europe and France, like, for example, Bordeaux and West Bank, it built the Cabernet Sauvignon and Rybak and Merlot. But it was 100 years and people find out what is the best.
That is a big problem here in North Carolina because the viticulture industry, as you said, is so young and so new.
Yeah.
We're still struggling in various parts of the state to figure out which kind of grapes grow best.
Exactly. And in my opinion, another main problem is our climate, our weather. I've been doing it for 6 years here. Every year is different. Every single year is different. And it's pretty unpredictable. And so 1 year is good for one variety, another year is good for another variety. It's another problem. Yeah, it's true.
That's what nature does for you. You know, what kind of grapes do you have in the ground now?
I get my grapes Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and a little bit Sangiovese. I really like this grape, and I want to plant some more Sangiovese because it was really soon I planted just a couple of rows. And for white, we have, of course, Chardonnay, Viognier, and Sauvignon Blanc. And, of course, I got my Muscadine. It's a little bit separate.
What kind of Muscadine is it?
It's a Noble and Mark St. Carlos.
And how long have you been making wine with the Noble Muscadine?
From Noble, we debuted since this first year.
Oh, this is your first year?
It's my first year from Noble, yes. Okay. Before I did from Carlos.
Okay, so who decides when the grapes are ripe? This is always a question that our radio listening audience asks every time they get in front of somebody who's growing grapes. How do you know when they're ripe?
No, for me, it's a very simple question. Of course, we are working in cooperation with winemaker. And when grapes started ripening, we make an analysis of cases for bricks, pH, K, and together we make decision if time or still we have to keep it. Of course, it depends on weather. And sometimes I would prefer to keep grape a little bit longer but we have to pick it because yep. Hurricane is coming, rain is coming, like it was. I'm very lucky this year. We finished our harvest just 2 days before this heavy rain. And I didn't care about rain this year. And it was perfect quality grape. I never seen this quality. This year I had, for example, my Cab Franc, it was 24 grapes. It broke all records. I never had this sugar content. Yeah, it was pretty, very exceptional.
Yeah, it's like that here in the mountains, too. We've got some serious years where we have lousy grapes because of the weather, and some years it's just absolutely fantastic. So that comes with the weather, I think, no matter where we are in the state of North Carolina. So when you started looking at the property, did you have a decision to make on looking at one property versus another to put your vineyard in?
Honestly, not. I didn't have this knowledge when I bought it. I just bought just near the existing vineyard, and we made a soil test, and it was pretty good soil, and it was existing vineyard just near my property. So it was why I made this solution to buy this property.
Okay, so you did the soil test just to make sure of what?
It's good pH, and I already started to study in Stuy Community College this time, and I had some knowledge myself. I showed my soil test to my professor, and he recommended me that it's pretty good soil, and he told me it's a good decision, and we can grow grapes in this place.
Andre, did you go to school someplace or learn on your own about growing grapes?
No, I went to school. When I bought the vineyard, the next year I went to school. I went to Surrey Community College in Dobson, in the Yadkin Valley. And I'm lucky person. I met very good teachers, and I really appreciate for this. Gil Gies was my teacher. Now he is winemaker in Shelton. And we still have very good connection. We are good friends. And I have this opportunity. If I got some difficult question, I can call him and ask. So I spent 2 years in school studying viticulture and winemaking.
Well, you're doing something right because we've got a gold medal winner there at the Asheville Wine and Food Festival plus another medal. So we're just very happy to have you as a winemaker here in the state of North Carolina. Are you aware of the organizations we have here, such as the North Carolina Wine Growers Association?
Yes, I'm a member, of course, yes.
Okay, and the North Carolina Muscadine Grape Association. I'm on the board of directors of that particular organization.
Not yet, but I guess I will. I'm really fond of Muscadine, and I like it more and more. The more I know about Muscadine, I really want to grow it and try to different style of wine. It's unique grape. And
well, the Muscadines grow very well here in North Carolina, as you may be finding out. And there's usually less problems with them, too. My vineyard here in Marshall, in Madison County, is 100% Muscadine, and we're growing the only cold hardy variety, the Catua Muscadine, and we're learning a whole bunch of things about that particular grape. It doesn't grow as big as the ones that you're growing in your place, but they have a very, very strong flavor of the Muscadine essence that everybody has recognized so much in the state. when you've got your vineyard going and you're looking at your tasting room, do you have a tasting room there, I'm assuming, at your winery?
Yeah, we've got tasting room on our property. It's a beautiful place, and people like to come and to sit. And most important, 2 years ago, we built St. Anna Chapel in our vineyard. It's just on the top of the hills on this property. And people like to sit in porch and enjoy this view. It's a beautiful view to St. Anna Chapel. It's a very special place for me, and it's authentic Russian church. 17th century style, and it was built in Russia. After it, we shipped it here and assembled. I hired a local contractor company who assembled it here. And we got services, we got some baby baptizing, and we have bedding in this place. And beautiful, beautiful building, and it's part of my culture, part of my history.
Goodness sakes, you seriously, you have a chapel there that you imported from Russia?
Yes. Chapel just in the center of my vineyard.
I think you have the only chapel in North Carolina that has frequent flyer miles.
Definitely, yes. For sure. Very special place and very special for me.
So
part of my history.
Okay. So how many people can you accommodate at once in your tasting room?
About 50 people. Last Sunday, we got maybe 45, 50 people at one time.
Okay.
We got a pretty big tasting room.
Sure. And typically, how many wines are you pouring in your tasting room?
Now I got 9 wines, 6 my wines from my vineyard, and 3 imported. I'm official importer of Spanish wine from my Spanish partner from Rioja.
Okay.
And so now we are pouring 9 wines.
So people get to taste a little something extra there at your place.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Okay. Well, talk to me a little bit more about the things that you want to do in the future with your grapes and your vineyard.
I'm going to extend my vineyard. I planted this year Cedar Door. I really need this grape for blending. It's excellent grape to my French style, blend. So it's my plan. So it's already planted, and I'm going to extend this block of Cedar Door. And as I told you, I'm going to extend my muscadine to do some maybe another style of muscadine wine, not only dessert wine.
Okay.
And of course, now we have to build most from clientele. Yeah, so I'm the youngest winery here in Columbus. There are 5 wineries, and I'm last one, so people still don't know about us. And one more time, thank you very much for this invitation, for this interview. I hope more people will know about us and more. People will want to see us to visit my winery and my tasting room. It's my goal for this time.
Well, let's hope that people get to know you and get to know your wines, because the ones we tasted were pretty doggone good, Andre.
I hope, yes, it's thank you.
So if you were to tell somebody the secret in making a good wine, what would you tell them?
It's I would like to tell some small short story. It happened 10 years ago. I was traveling in Europe and Italy with my daughter, and we went to Toscana to one small winery to taste some wine. It was a pretty old man. His name was Mario. And he told me, my granddad made wine here. It was Roman Empire when legions went by this road from Rome to Marseille, and my ancestors sell wine here for this. And there are 2 things. You have to follow tradition and put your soul. Why? And I remember this, and now I can add just one thing. You have to put your hands to the soil, and you have to put your soul to your wine. And it's my secret. I hope it works.
Well, I'm a very hands-on guy, and I believe on the hands in the soil part, I think I'm still working on putting my soul in the wine. That I'm still struggling with. But mine is just a very small teaching vineyard, and we're just a grower. We don't make commercial wine here. I make a little for us on the side, but it's primarily to teach people how to grow grapes here in the mountains. If you were to take a look at one of the things that you would have done differently once you started, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently from the beginning?
Great question. Maybe I would plant vineyard for harvester, because now I'm still pretty small for harvester, but I'm pretty big for hand picking, and it's now it's problem for harvest time. I had to hire more people for picking, and now it's a labor, it's serious problem now. And I would plant my vineyard more better for mechanization, for use more machines, for harvesting, for pruning, for all this stuff, for deleting. For me now, it's pretty serious problem is labor.
Well, Andre, we're going to take a break at this point in time and have a small commercial, and we'll be right back. Folks, we've been talking with Andre Medvedev, owner of Russian Chapel Hills Winery in Columbus, North Carolina. Hang on, we'll be right back. The sponsor for today's program is Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator. Most housing in the mountains of western North Carolina is made out of wood, either log cabins or sawmill slab-sided stick-built homes. Only two kinds of housing here in the mountains, those that have termites and those that will have termites. This universal problem stuck in the mind of Teddy Tanglefoot. After fighting them for years and calling commercial pest control companies to the mountains, he decided to take the thing into his own hands. He had observed that termites tended to be nocturnal critters. He also knew that they preferred soft wood to hardwood. So Teddy began thinking about a way to defeat termites using their characteristics against them. He began with soft basswood sawdust to make his concoction attractive to the termites. He used a hammer to beat the sawdust into a powder. Next, he caught a jar of lightning bugs, fireflies for you city folks. He took one at a time out of the jar and squashed them just as they lit up. He then mixed the luminescent squeezings with his basswood powder. He found an old wringer washing machine at the dump and stripped off the wringer portion. He placed it on the ground next to his house and used an old rain gutter to make a ramp up to the wringer. He made a trail of his glowing basswood paste in the middle of the rain gutter from the ground to the wringers. After dark, the glowing trail with the basswood was just too good a tasty meal for the termites to pass up, so they began eating their way up the gutter ramp. Once they made it to the top of the rain gutter ramp, they walked into the wringer rollers and were instantly terminated. Teddy was thrilled. He had solved his termite problem for good. His neighbor saw his termite terminator invention and wanted one for their house. Teddy was in business. Just so you know, there have been a few complaints now and then. A few folks have caught skunks in the ringer and they've pursued the termites up the ramp. Nasty, stinky business getting the skunk removed from the ringers. And then there was Aunt Bessie's pet dog, whose curiosity led him to his demise in her ringers last fall. Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator is another special product made in the good old U.S. of A., here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy Teddy Tanglefoot's Termite Terminator today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our program. Okay, folks, we're back for the second part of the Mountain Grapevine Radio Show today. We've been talking with Andre Medvedev, who is the owner of Russian Chapel Hills Winery in Columbus, North Carolina. Turns out he's a really good winemaker down there by the name of Jay Adams. So, Andre, earlier we talked about some things you would do differently if you had to do it again. What did you do right? What were you most proud of in the decisions you've made so far in developing your winery and your wines?
I guess, first of all, thanks to my winemaker, Jay Adams, as you said. And when we decided to do our Chardonnay, we made the decision to make it barrel fermented. And we did half and half. Half of our Chardonnay was barrel fermented. Half was stainless, but with oak sticks. And after this, we mixed this wine. The white has pretty good oaky, but not over oaked, and buttery flavor. And people really like this flavor. And it was a pretty funny story. Maybe a month ago, I've got my wine notes where it was described my Chardonnay butterscotch flavor. One gentleman, he tasted my Chardonnay and read about butterscotch. He said, oh yeah, I really feel butterscotch. Do you add some butterscotch to your Chardonnay? I said, no, sorry, no additives. It's just 100% pure Chardonnay, no butterscotch. But it has pretty good taste. And my opinion was right decision to do this well fermented. It really gives more flavors to my house. Right? We are doing the same with our Sauvignon Blanc. All my Sauvignon Blanc just well fermented and sure on leaves for months. And after this, we pump it to stainless tanks.
Yeah,
I expect
Americans, for the most part, don't understand what sur leaves mean. Just by way of explaining to our radio audience, that means that you leave the wine fermenting and aging on the lees. That is the things that, yeah, the things that precipitate out and fall to the bottom of the barrel. Some people say it gives a much better mouth feel and a much better all-around flavor to the wines. The French have been most famous for doing this, and there's some, but not many, Americans who are now doing this. So it's interesting that you're using that technique, because I think it's a positive thing for Chardonnays.
It definitely helps a lot, and what if it's more work, of course, every moment you have to steer it in barrels, and it's some additional work, but it gives some good result.
Yep.
I know it. And,
are you married, Andre? I forgot to ask that earlier.
Oh, yes, I'm married, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is your wife involved in the winery?
She's not involved in the winery. She runs a restaurant in Hendersonville. It's a Japanese sushi restaurant called Umi. And it's a pretty famous place. And she's doing great business. Of course, she sells my wine in this restaurant. And if somebody wants to taste my wine, welcome to Umi, Hendersonville.
Okay.
And, you can find Russian Temple Hills Winery Wine. So I can say she's involved in this business for sure.
Okay. Yeah, does she get involved in the tasting and the development of the blending of the wines?
Oh, no. She's very busy in a restaurant. She just involved to sell my wine.
Okay.
And, of course, she's my best advertisement, and she promotes my wine very well in a restaurant.
How do you spell the name of the restaurant where she works?
U-M-I, Umi.
Umi. Okay. Yes. And that's in Columbus?
No, it's in Hendersonville on Main Street. The best sushi in this area, and I got this for many years.
Okay.
And I would strongly recommend to you, people who listen to us, to visit Umi and taste sushi and my wine.
Okay. Well, do you have any other distribution outlets for your wines other than coming to that restaurant or to your winery?
Yeah, I sold to some restaurants, not a lot, but some restaurants in Nashville. And in Hendersonville, and of course in Columbus and Bryan, some local guys here like
okay.
my wine.
Okay, can you give the radio listeners the names of the restaurants here in Asheville where they're selling your wines?
Yes, in Asheville, it's called Gondolier. It's in West Asheville. It's an Italian restaurant.
Okay. And in Hendersonville?
In Hendersonville, it's Umi, as I said.
Okay.
In Bryan, it's called Vendor Bistro. And in Mandrum, it's Harvest House and Hair and Hunt.
Okay.
And some wine shop in Tryon. It's called La Boutelette. And in Pin.
Okay.
South Carolina.
Okay.
I guess that's it, but we are working on it and we will extend it. Distribution for sure.
Okay. So what is your current capacity and number of cases per year that you're producing there at the Russian Chapel Hills Winery?
Yes, my winery can produce about 5,000 cases per year. But last year we did about 3,000 cases. This year I expect now it was good crop and good yield. I'm all my tank full. So I guess this year it will be about 5,000 cases.
About how many cases?
5,000.
5,000 cases, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, 5,000 cases put you at a very nice size little winery. I think that that's enough to keep you busy, Andre.
Oh, yeah. It keeps me busy 24 hours, 7 days.
Yeah, who designs your wine labels?
Actually, it's very easy now because we got our beautiful Santa Ana Chapel on our vineyard. So on our label, it's our chapel.
Okay.
And so most of my labels just is our Santa Ana Chapel. But now it's very interesting. I've got one young artist. He came from Moscow to the same place where I live in Columbus.
Yeah.
And he is a very talented guy. And for my new wine, he really painted that real art label. And if my new label is coming, there'll be some art. Like, I can say that Mutom Rosso do it. Our listener, we don't know about Mutom Rosso, but it's famous winery, one of the most expensive wine in the world, in France. And Mutom Rosso, every year he orders some label from some artist, and he pays them by wine, and every label is kind of art.
Okay.
Maybe, yes, I will have his wine, I hope. I hope I will have his famous in this place as well, and this guy, you're the famous for his work.
Well, if we're going to have the radio audience contact you, how would they be able to do that? Do you have a website? Do you have email? Do you have a phone number, Facebook? What are the ways?
Of course, we got Facebook and all this social networks. My Facebook, Russian Chapel Hills, primary. And my email, russianwww.russianchapelhill.com. It's very simple. And... I can give my phone number. If somebody is interested, then just feel free to call me.
Okay.
828-817-7260. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so if somebody wants to come down and visit for tasting or to enjoy the view and to visit your Russian imported chapel, that's the way you get in contact with Andrei Medvedev, owner of Russian Chapel Hills Winery in Columbus, North Carolina. Andre, we really appreciate your taking time today to be with us on the radio show, and thanks very much for submitting some wines for us to taste for the Asheville Wine and Food Festival. Looking forward to tasting some more of your wines. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, and welcome to see us. Anytime, anybody welcome to visit Russian Chapel Hills Winery. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we'll call that a wrap for today's program. This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!